Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Nun Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins about halfway down Daf Nun Aleph. You will notice a bow tie shape featuring the name Rabbi Yochanan. Before we begin the shiur, let us glance at the outside margin under our Nosei heading, where you find an entry that reads Machsheves Chibur. A machshava means a plan to consider something as a food item. Chibur, while it's still attached to the ground, as the plant is still growing, Shehei L'maychel Odom, with a plan, with the intent to use that plant as food for people. L'inyan Maisris. Once the plant is categorized as food for people, then the question of the need for tithing arises. L'rova havi machshava l'chayev b'afroshes. One's thoughts concerning an attached plant to be used for eating purposes would make it such that it's chayav in hafrosha, that you'll have to tithe from it. So that even though it's still attached to the ground, nevertheless, your intent will take hold, will be of consequence. We also are noting here that the comment of Rabbi Yochanan should be paralleled with that which we learned back on Nun Omid Aleph. In fact, back on Nun Omid Aleph, there is a bow tie shape that will make it easier to connect these two Rabbi Yochanan statements. We have a little note on the other margin where you see the double star, and we've noted Liel Roish Nun Omid Beis, back on the top of Nun Omid Beis, Muzkar, there is a mention that Machsheves Chibur Legabi Tumas Oichlin, the intent for using. In that case, the Gemara made reference to a plant called Ulshin that is generally understood to be animal food, but a person, while it was growing, still had intent to use it for people consumption, for human consumption. So there the issue came up, does the decision to use it as for human consumption while it's still attached, does that have any significance? And there the point was made that no, it doesn't become subject to Tumas Oichlin unless one has the Machshava once it's detached. So in our Gemara, we will notice that that Rabbi Yochanan concedes that regarding the need for tithing something because it's been classified now as human food, that classification will take hold even though the plant is still attached. So now we turn to the Gemara. Omar Rava, Umoide Rabbi Yochanan, Le'inyan Meiser. Rabbi Yochanan will concede that with regard to classifying something as human food, with respect to it then becoming destined or bound to needing a tithe removed from it, the machsheves chibur, that the thoughts that you have while this plant is still attached, mo machshava, it is of consequence, it takes hold. Omar Rava Meno Amino La. So Rava, who quoted this point of Rabbi Yochanan, asks, from where do I know this? Disnan. So we have the following source. The source features the names of different plants, Hasiyah V'Ezov Akurnis, Shebechotzer, these three different types of plants that are in a courtyard, Im Hoyu Nishmorin Chayovin. If they are Nishmorin means they're guarded, as opposed to hefker, as opposed to something unowned. So they're chayav in being tithed. They need to be tithed. Hey chidomi, what are the circumstances? Ilema dezarinu mitchilu la'odam, if they were planted initially for human consumption, tzricha la'meimar, do I need to be told that they will be chayav in being tithed? Obviously, I don't need to be told that which is so simple. Elolav dezarinu mitchila la'behema, rather, these plants, the CIAs of Nkurnas, were planted originally for as animal feed. The Kotoni, and it says im hoyu nishmorin chayovin, where if he changes his mind while they are still growing, and nishmorin means they're still growing and they're not hefker, they're nishmorin, they're like guarded for human consumption. And the ruling is that they're chayav in being tithed. So that you see that a change of mind while the plant is still growing takes effect with regard to the need for it eventually to be tithed. Omar Ravashi. At this point, Ravashi rejects the approach of Rava and says that this source does not help Rava. Hocha b'chotzer sh'ol me'elen askinan. This is a case of plants that grew on their own, as opposed to what Rava explained, where we dashed underlined that they were planted originally for animal feed. No, Ravashi says here is a courtyard that the plants started to grow on their own. Ustamo l'odam kaimi, and in this neutral fashion, they are understood to be for human consumption. The hochi ko'omar, and thusly the source is to be understood. Im hachotzer mishameres peroseha, if the courtyard is such that it guards, it protects, it guards its fruits, its produce, chayoven, so there will be an obligation to tithe. V'im lav pturin, and if not, so then if it's a type of open chotzer where anyone can come in and take, then they will be exempt. At this point, we notice the use of a new marking. We have a triangle that we're introducing, and the triangle, you'll notice, will assume a different position every few lines, where on the outside margin, we have this feature under our Mivneh heading. The triangle is called here a Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give-and-take nature of the Gemara. With the point facing up, they represent Kushios al Rava, questions or problems for Rava's position. And with the triangle flipped over, they represent shuvos, responses or defenses for Rava's position. So now we turn to the Gemara. Mosiv Ravashi. Ravashi asks on Rava, our Mishnah. It says, Kol shechayovim b'maisris mitamin tumas oichlin. Anything that's fit or that becomes bound to needing to be tithed, it's capable of absorbing tumas oichlin. The Yemi saw, if Rava is correct that the machsheves chibur is considered a machshava, that his intent to use it as his decision to use it as human food takes effect while the plant is still attached. Well, ha'iko hani, then you would have the following, namely these plants that you decided now to use for human consumption, the kochayovin b'maiser, they are obligated to be tithed, as Rava explained above. The ein metamin tumas ochlin, but there will be no tumas ochlin by virtue of the fact that they are still attached. Plants that are still growing do not absorb tumah. They resist tumah. So that, according to Rava's analysis, that a machsheves chibur takes effect with regard to the chiyuv meiser, and at the same time, there would be no tumas ochlin, that would run counter to what the Mishnah teaches. Omar Rava. So here you see the triangle flips over, and it's Rava's response. Hochi ka'omar. The understanding of the Mishnah is as follows. Kol min shechayov b'maiser metama tumas oichlin. The Mishnah is to be understood not as a reference to a specific plant, but rather the Mishnah is talking about varieties of plants. Those varieties of plants that could be subject to tithing, so those varieties could be subject to tumas oichlin. So that the Mishnah is understood as referring to varieties of plants as opposed to a specific plant growing at a specific point. Hachi nami mistabro, and it's also likely that the understanding of the Mishnah is in this form of min kotoni, mida kotoni seifa. The seifa says kol shechay bereshis hagez chay v'matonis. This is a Mishnah that will be coming up on Omid Beis. In other words, later, those types of animals that there is a tithing from its shearings, that's called reshis hagez. It's a tithing of wool, that's when the sheep are shorn, so a certain amount is given to a kohen. So animals that are chayav in this wool tithe, chayav matonis, there is a chiyuv that when they're slaughtered, that one gives from the slaughtered animal a portion to the kohen, and the portion is referred to by the term portion of meat is referred to by the term matonis. The yeshechayv matonis. There are those kind of animals where there's a chiyuv matonis. The matonis are known as the zroa lechoyayim vekeva, the zroa of the arm, lechayim the cheek, and the keva the stomach. So these are parts of the animal that are given to a kohen. There are those kind of animals that are chayav in matonis, the ein chayav reishis hagez. Example of that would be the realm of cows, where there is no tithing from the shearing of its hair, but there is a matona obligation. Ve'im isa, if it were so that the Mishnah is to be understood as a, let's say, non-variety Mishnah, but rather referring to a specific animal, then ha'ika treifa. Well, we would have an example of something that would contradict the rule presented in the Mishnah. Why? Well, what do we know about a treifa? The chayeves bereshis hagez, an animal that has a, let's say, an organ imperfection, which we'll call a treifa. Then that type of animal, if you shear its wool, it'll be chayav in the wool tie, the reishis hagez. The eino chayeves b'matonas, but it's a treifa, something that you can't, it's usur, it's forbidden to eat. So there's no obligation of giving those portions that are called the matonas to a kohen. So you would have, if the Mishnah was referring to a specific animal, we would then be able to point to a treifa and say it's chayav in reishis hagez, and yet it's exempt from matonis, which would contradict the rule stated in the Mishnah. So the only way to understand the Mishnah is, as Rava suggested, it's min, a variety of animal that's chayav in reishis hagez. That variety of animal would be chayav in matonis, leaving room still to say that a treifa would be different, but that wouldn't contradict the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is not referring to a specific animal, but rather to a variety of animal. Omar Ravina. You notice here we have a triangle with the point facing up, so this is once again a problem, it represents a problem for Rava. Ha-mani. What Ravina is doing is he's rejecting what we said was Hochi Nami Mestabra. He's rejecting that point, and rather says Ha'amani Rebbe Shimon Hi. The Mishnah is in accordance with Rebbe Shimon. Disnan Rebbe Shimon Poter Es HaTrefo Mereishis Hagez. In fact, the example that Rava tried to use to show that we are talking about min variety of animals, so Ravina diffuses that approach and says, rather, the Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Shimon, whose approach to treifa is that it's in fact exempt from reishis hagez, so that the case of treifa would not pose a problem for the rules stated in the Mishnah. Originally, before, we said that treifa would have posed a problem because the Mishnah says anything that's chayav in reishis hagez is also chayav in matonis. And we know that treifa is not chayav in matonis. However, Ravina says that treifa doesn't even fit into the Mishnah, because the the beginning of the Mishnah says Kol Shechai Breishes Agez, that already doesn't include a Treifa, because Rab Shimon exempts the Treifa from Reishes Agez. So Memela, I understand there's an exemption from Matonis. So that as far as Ravina is concerned, the Mishnah that Rava cited to support his position is not necessarily so. Omar Rav Simi Bar Ashi. Notice the triangle flips over again. In addition to that, we also have a long point marking. The word, the nun, it represents nekuda, a point that you find on the to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Rav Simi comes to bring a proof for Rava's approach that the Mishnayis, these Mishnayis are speaking about varieties, min kotoni. So Omar Rav Simi Bar Ashi, Toshma, Hamafkir es karmoi v'hishkin babokir botzo. Someone declared unowned his vineyard, and the next morning, that fellow who just the night before declared it hefker, he wakes up and botzo and harvests that vineyard. Chayav v'perer v'oz b'shika u'v'peya, he will be obligated to leave for the poor. This is a tithe to the poor. Peret olos shikon peya, different tithes that are relevant to a vine, upoter min hamaiser, and it'll be exempt from maiser. Maiser is not something that is given from that which is unowned, has been declared hefker. V'ho anan tnan, but haven't we learned kol shechayav b'peya chayav v'maisers? Anything that's chayav and peya, and this last source indicated that the mafkir kamel is chayav amongst other things in peah, but it also says it's exempt from meiser. How could that be resolved with our Mishnah that says if something is chayav in peah, it is to be understood as being chayav in meiseris? Elolav shma mino, rather you must say that the Mishnah that says kol shechayav peah chayav meiseris is min kotoni, that kind of variety of produce which is chayav in peah would be chayav in maisers. So you see from this, in order to for us to preserve the source of hamafkiris karmo and resolve that with our Mishnah, it's important that we read the Mishnah as min, that any variety of thing that's chayav in peah, when at the same time there is an example of someone who would declare his vineyard unowned, and then the rule of the Mishnah wouldn't apply, but the Mishnah is not speaking about a specific case. It's speaking rather about varieties. And so with that in mind, that's, we say, Shema Minah, then we have proof to Rava's approach, and not like what Rav Ashi tried to do, to derail it from that approach. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading under our Nosei heading in the margin, where we've written Tumas Oichlin Bedvorim Davido Letaimo. The topic will discuss the possibility of Tumas Oichlin, Tuma that's related to food items, with regard to those kind of plants that are grown for taste purposes, as is the case with spices. So our Gemara begins Tanan Hosam. We should also note that the opening of this Gemara is accompanied by a long point marking, and this will continue down the first few lines on Omid Beis, getting down to the fifth line from the top. After which, after making this point, the Gemara will raise a question that is going to last a number of lines as it takes in a Tanaic source. So the Gemara begins with a Tanaic quote, Tanan Hosam, Moidim Chachomim L'Rabbi Akiva, B'Zorea Sheves Ocharol B'Shnaim U'Shloisha Mekoimois, the Chachomim who previously had an argument with Rabbi Akiva with regard to how one is to tithe fields that are grown in a certain way. Rashi gives the background that's not important for us at this very moment, but the Chachamim will concede to Rabbi Kiva in the case of someone who plants sheves, a type of plant, or chardal, b'shnayim shoshim mekomos, in two or three different spots in his field, shenoisein peya mikol echad ve'echad, that one would be obligated to leave the peya tithe, which is the growth or the plants that are left unharvested for the benefit of the poor. So the payout tithe will be left from sheves, amongst other things. And the Chachamim will concede that from each different plot where the sheves is growing, a separate payout tithe will be left. Continuing at the top of Omid Beis, Baha Sheves, the Mechayev Bepeya, Sheves, as we just pointed out, becomes obligated for the Peya tithe, Mechayev Bemeiser, by virtue of the fact that it's Chayev in Peya, we know it will also be Chayev in the Meiser tithe. The Snan, our Mishnah taught, call Shechayev Bepeya Chayev Bemeiser. If something is Chayev in Peya, that's a sure sign that it will be Chayev in the Meiser tithe. Umidechayev b'maiser mitame tumas oichlin, and with a hop, skip and jump, we go from peya to maiser, and from maiser to tumas oichlin. For that which is chayev in maiser, we have already learned, is chayev or is bound to the realm of tumas oichlin. Alma, we can now create a rule. Kol mili de'ovid l'taima, those kind of plants that whose purpose is to produce taste, as is the case in spices, mitame tumas oichlin, fits into the realm of tumas oichlin, the high sheves, l'taimo avido, the nature of sheves, that type of plant, is for its taste alone, in terms of it's being used for cooking and not eating the plant itself. So the sheves is l'taimo avido, and we see, nevertheless, that it is subject to tumas oichlin. Viromini, we now raise a problem, a question, a contradiction. We have a long source, and in this source we will be featuring spice plants, the plants that are letaimo avida, and it will be pointed out toward the end of the source that one does not buy them with money of Meiser Sheni, and it also says that there is no Tumas Ochlin. So here we have a source that will feature spice plants, and it says clearly there's no Tumas Ochlin. But we just got finished saying, and if you use the markings, especially the dashed underlining, you see the fourth line from the top where it says, Kol midi d'avid l'taima metama Tumas Ochlin. Toward the end of this source, it says, Ve'ein metamen tumas oichlin. So now we go and read the whole source, Veromini, we raise a question. The source opens up with a list of different plants. Hakosht, v'achimum, v'roshe besomim, v'atio, v'achiltis, v'pilpulin, v'chalas choria. All of these are plants that are letaimo avido, therefore their taste value. Nikrin bekesef meiser, one can purchase them with meiser sheni money. Meiser sheni money is money that one set aside after redeeming the produce that was tithed as the meiser sheni tithe. So he uses that money to buy food in Yerushalayim. So the source says that you can buy these spice plants with your kesef meiser sheni. V'ein metamen tumas oichlin, divrei Rabbi Akiva. And there's no Tumas Ochlin. Omar lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, im nikhin bekesef meiser, if, as you say, you can buy these plants with meiser sheni money. Meiser sheni is essentially money used to buy something you're going to eat in Yerushalayim. You can't use meiser sheni money for buying a car, for example. So it's used for buying something that's food. So Rabbi Yochanan says, if you can use the meiser sheni money for purchasing these spice plants, that neima ein metame tumas ochlin. So why is there no tumas ochlin? After all, it's food, because you're saying you can buy it with kesef meiser sheni. V'im ein on metamin, and if
as you said, there's no tumas ochlin by these spice plants, achem lo yiloku because of meiser, then you should not use meiser sheni money for their purchase. The Omer of Yochan ben Nuri, nimnu v'gomru, there was a vote and a conclusion, she'ein nichin b'kesef meiser, the ein metamin tumas ochlin. The conclusion is that you do not use meiser sheni money for buying the spice plants, and they are not subject to tumas ochlin. That's the end of our long question. Here we see that things that are grow for their taste alone are not subject to tumas ochlin. Above, we attempted to conclude that things that are for their taste, and specifically we were speaking before about the sheves, it is mitama tumas ochlin. Omar Rav Chista resolves the problem. Ki tanyo hahi. That which we learned earlier regarding the sheves, that it's chayev in peah and in maestris and it's metama tumas oichlin, that's b'sheves u'asuya lekemech. Rashi describes it being used as making out of it a type of dip. For our purposes, the sheves that was featured before, concerning which we said is subject to tumas oichlin, is sheves that is actually consumed itself. You eat it. In other words, they're not there just for spice value. Omar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi is about to present a long point. You'll notice we have a long point marking, which continues till the Mishnah. Omar Rav Ashi. Amrisa l'shmaitze kamei de Rav Kahana. I said over this teaching to Rav Kahana. We should point out that when learning Rav Chista, he said that the source before concerning the Sheves, that it has relevance to Tumas Oichlin, that's the Sheves that's for Kemach purposes. But from that you could infer that your Stam Sheves, we'll call it the neutral Sheves, that is something that's grown for its taste alone. So let's go over that point again. According to Rav Chista, there's something called sheves that's made for kemach purposes, made to be processed into a dip, where you eat it itself. But your stam sheves is for tam. So with that in mind, Rav Ashi, who says over Rav Chista's teaching to Rav Kahana, he says, Lo tema b'sheves u'asuya lekemech ha stamo lekedera. Don't say that there's something called sheves that's for the dip. But your neutral shemes, the stam, is for taste. Elo stam sheves lekemech asuya. But let it be known that the stam sheves is in fact for making this dip. Disnan, hasheves, the sheves, which is mashma stam sheves, mishenosna tam bekedera, ein bo mishum truma, v'eino mitama tumas oichlin. Once it has been used as
a spice and it's given forth its taste, so then there's no more. It wouldn't have any association with Truma, and it wouldn't be subject to Tumas Oichlin. Ha, we infer, ha ad shalo nosna tamagdera. However, before it gave forth its taste, yesh ba mishum Truma, you would have to make sure that you tithe it. Umetama Tumas Oichlin, and it would be subject to Tumas Oichlin. If you were to think that the assumed sheves is only for spice purposes, he lo nosnonami, even if it didn't give forth its taste yet, stamo likadera, it's there destined for taste. Kadera literally is a pot, but it's for as a spice for spicing up foods cooked in pots. So the source wouldn't have made or placed emphasis on the fact that it already released its taste, leaving room to think that if it didn't release its taste,
it would be chayev in truma. If stam sheves were for taste purposes, even if it didn't release its taste into the pot, it would still have to be tithed. Elolav shmamino stamo lekemech asuya shmamino. So from here, we see that the stam sheves, the neutral case, the general case of sheves, is that it's used for kemech, for used as a dip. Hence, we can make this inference that if the sheves hasn't given forth its taste yet, it is stam destined to be eaten itself as a dip, and only in the case where it wasn't used as such, and rather it was cooked with for its taste, then and only then is there an exemption, and then there's no tumas ochlin. But in the neutral case of sheves, it would be subject to tumas ochlin, because, as we said, stam sheves is for kemech, to be made into this dip. The Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, we glance at our topic heading, the nosei. Hemshech Mishnayis shel kol v'yesh. We're continuing in the series of Mishnayis, which have the same structure, where it gives you a some type of a general comment and a reflection in the opposite direction and noticing the differences. In the course of this Omed, we will be discussing Reishis Hagez, that is the first of one's shearings of his sheep, and it is a tithe to the Kohen. Biur v'Shvius, this is the obligation when the Shvius year arrives and a particular crop is no longer growing in the fields. So if you have that type, that variety of plant, of fruit or vegetable in your house, so you have to get rid of it because it's no longer available to the animals in the fields. That idea of getting rid of it is called biur of Shvius. Another point that we'll be looking into is simone dogim sherim, the signs that we rely upon to establish that a fish is kosher, and brochos lefonov and achrov, and we need to make a brocha before and after different kinds of things. So the Mishnah says, kol shechayev bereishis hagez chayev b'matzonos, that kind of animal that you would be obligated to remove, to give a shearing of its a tithe of its shearings, chayev matonos, upon slaughtering such an animal, you would have to give a portion from different parts of the animal to the Kohen. V'yesh chayev matonos, there are cases of animals that one would slaughter and have to give the different sections to a Kohen, and yet v'yeno chayev reishis hagez, but it won't be obligated in reishis hagez, and the example that we cited earlier of that is a cow. Kol she'yesh lo biur, yesh lo shvius. Any type of plant to which the laws of biur apply, the laws of shvius also apply. Now, this is a little tricky because biur is one of the laws of shvius. So Rashi explains that when it says yesh lo shvius, it means the other laws of shvius. For example, the prohibition of using them in commerce for commercial purposes, and the need to declare it unknown, when, or to make sure it's available for all to take during the Shemitah year, and not to convert them into, medicinal purposes, malugma and apikvizin. So the Mishnah tells us that any plant that you would have to practice biur on, then the other laws of shvius will apply. The yesh, sheyesh lo shvius, there are those kinds of plants that will have the laws of shvius that we just mentioned, the prohibition of using them in commerce and using them for some purpose other than what they're designed for, namely eating. And yet, the ain lo biur, but there nevertheless will be no biur restriction or obligation on them. And that is a reference to those kind of plants that maybe we'll term them perennials, where they are always in season. Hence, the din of biur won't apply, because the din of biur applies to those plants that, when they become unavailable because they're now out of season, so if you have any of them in your possession, you have to get rid of them. The Gemara explains what is an example of things that have bior to them. Kagon ole haluf shoite vehadan dina. Two names of plants. The Mishnah said yesh sheyesh lo shvius ve'ein lo bior. There are those that have the shvius restrictions that apply to them, and yet there is no bior obligation. What is included in that? Ikur haluf shoite ve'ikur hadan dina. These would be the roots of these plants. Dichtiv ulevehem decha v'lachaya asher v'artzecha tia kol t'vuaso lechol. From this we learn, as long as it's available for the wild animals to eat from these in the fields, in other words, they're still in season, they're still available. So the pasuk tells me you can feed it to your animals in your house. If it's no longer available to the wild animals that roam the fields, so namely because it's simply out of season. So if you have any of it stored up in your house, you'll have to get rid of it. It cannot be used for your behemoths anymore. V'hani lo koluluhu, and the examples of that we mentioned, the ikra luf shoite and the ikra hadandina, those are always available. They're lo kolu, they don't get finished off, and hence there is no din of bior on it. The Mishnah. Here, the Mishnah deals with the signs of kashrus on fish and also on animals. Kol sheyeshlo kaskeses, and a fish that has scales, yeshlo snapir, it also has fins. V'yeshleishlo snapir, there are fish that have fins, v'ein lo kaskeses, but yet don't have scales. Kol sheyeshlo karnaim, yeshlo tlafayim. An animal that has horns is an animal that has a split hoof and would be kosher. There are animals that have split hooves, v'ein lo karnayim, but have no horns. An example of that would be the pig. And as such, it would not be. It's not kosher. V'yesh sheyesh lo tlafayim. The ain lo karnaim that we just made mention of. Kol sheyesh lo kaskeses is dag tor. Any animal, any fish that has scales on it is a kosher variety fish. Yesh sheyesh lo snapir ve'ein lo kaskeses dag tome. Fish that has fins but does not have scales, that's an unkosher variety fish. Michti anan akaskeses samchinon. We rely on the scales. In other words, if it's got scales, then you can eat it. Michti. Anana kaskeses samchinan. We rely on the kaskeses. Snapir the kos rachmona lomali. Why does the Torah bother writing snapir? After all, the pasuk makes reference to that element as well. So, but the question is, why does the Torah make reference to the snapir? Just tell me kaskeses, that if it has kaskeses, eat it. The Gemara answers, e lo kosav rachmona snapir, had the Torah not used the word snapir, have amina, my kaskeses, dichtiv, I would have thought, what is the meaning of kaskeses? I would have thought, snapir, that it's a fish that has fins, you can eat. The field dog tummy. And if that would be the case, we'll end up eating even unkosher variety fish. And obviously that would be a problem. Therefore, so as not to come to that conclusion, Kosav Rahmanas Snapir, Vikaskesis, the Torah writes both. So that by writing both, I understand that I'm going to have to have scales in order to eat it. The hashta the kosav rachmona snapir the kaskeses. Now that the Torah has written both of these words, minola de kaskeses levusha hu. How do I know that kaskeses is a reference to that which the fish wears, so to speak, meaning it's the scales that cover its body?
So how do I know that kaskes is that which is on its body, namely the scales? Dichtiv. There's a pasuk that says the shiryon kaskasim hu lavush. So you see in this pasuk the word kaskasim together with the lavush, meaning it's that which is on its body, like clothing one wears on its body. The fish is clothed in scales. Now at this point that we have the pasuk in Shmuel, it becomes clear to us that kaskasim are scales. With that in mind, is it really necessary to write snapir? Before we try to argue that you need to have the Torah writing snapir as well as kaskeses, so as to cover all bases and understand that you've got to have the scales. But now that we know that kaskeses is scales, the lichtoiv rachmona kaskeses velo boy snapir. Let the Torah write just kaskeses. After all, we rely on the kaskeses, and I wouldn't need for the Torah to write the word snapir at all. Before we came up with this pasuk from Shmuel v'shiryon kaskasim, so there we said I need to have both terms written so that I would be able to I would cover all bases, and I would understand that you've got to have scales. But now that we know that the word kaskasim means scales, so what do I have to write snapir for? Omer b'yavo, v'chein ton ebe Rabbi Shmuel, yagdil, teiro v'yadir. It's written to give us an opportunity to try to investigate it and learn more and more Torah surrounding it. And therefore, even though there's no practical application of the snapir in the Torah, it's written there anyway to give an opportunity to expound more and more on the Torah. Kol haton brocha le'achrov, ton brocha lefonov. Any item that requires a closing brocha or a final brocha requires an opening brocha. V'yesh ton brocha lefonov, v'ein ton brocha le'achrov. There are things that have a brocha before and no bracha afterwards. L'asuye mai. Here we are employing the triangle, and it's explained under our mivneh heading. L'asuye mai. Deos b'mahu adover shitzorach bracha lefonav v'lo l'achrov. We're trying to see what would be examples of things that have a need for an opening bracha but no closing bracha. So the Gemara asks, L'asuye mai. So what is included in this that has before and not afterwards? Answer, lasuye gerek, vegetables. That one who is about to eat a vegetable, he makes a brocha beforehand, but upon completing his vegetables, there's no final brocha. Ula Rabbi Yitzchak de mevarach hayerek, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, that is willing to make a brocha on the yerek, a final brocha. So lasuye mai, what is an example of something that has only an opening brocha, no final brocha? Vasuye Maya. So according to Rabbi Yitzchak, this will include the case of water. Namely, if one is about to drink water, he'll make an opening bracha, but upon completing it, no closing bracha. According to Rav Papa that makes a final bracha on water, after having drunk the water, he makes a final bracha. So what does the Mishnah include? Vasuye Maya. Vasuye Mitzvos. Mitzvahs are those types of things that we make a bracha on before. When you finish the mitzvah, no final bracha, no closing bracha. The Gemara asks, Those people in Eretz Yisrael that make a bracha, the sliku, they remove their tefillin. And what do they say? Asher Yishonim is the Sovitz Yivonu Lishmor Chukov. So, La Suyemai, what is being included in our Mishnah that featured things that have a bracha before and no bracha afterwards. So in the meantime, the Gemara says, according to the Bnei Marova that we just saw, that upon completing their mitzvah fillin, they say, Asher Kishon Mitzvah Tzivonu Lishmor Chukov. That's the text of the bracha that B'nai Ma'arufa say after the tefillin removal. So that according to B'nai Ma'arufa, we don't yet see an example of something that has a bracha before and no bracha after. So the Gemara asks, Lasuye Ma'ase, so what is included? Lasuye, the top of Tzadi Beis, of Nun Beis, Omet Aleph says, Reichani. This comes to include the case of smelling fragrances. Reichani, so that with regard to smelling fragrances, spices and the sort, one makes a bracha lefonav, but there is no closing bracha. So that would be the case that would be included or referred to by our Mishnah. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.